What's up, everybody? The year's almost over. It's almost over, folks. This is your host, Isaac Weishaupt, and we have got the 2020 wrap-up show. I'm gonna try to come with the goods today because I listened to the Tinfoil Hats year-end wrap-up show, the Swarmies. So I myself, a proud member of the Swarm, also. And, they really turned it up. I don't know if I'm going to be as entertaining as them, but I'll try. I'm a one-man operation here, so let's see what I can do. So on my version, on my show, on my humble little show, what I go through, and I'm trying to set up the template. I've done this a few years now. In fact, I had a best of 2018 show that was only on Patreon. And it was kind of a hit, so I thought, well, let me start doing this on all the feeds. And what I do is I go over the previous year's predictions. I'll give you some predictions for the upcoming year, all of which will be very wrong. And then I'll go through my version of the awards for, and I don't know how to give these out besides telling you what the most popular, most streamed shows were on the podcast, right? And the awards, what are we gonna call them? They call them the Swarmies over there on the Tinfoil Hat. Great name. The Warmies? I don't know. No, what the Wokies? Let's do the Wokies. It'll be the Wokies. So let's do it. Let's get into it. First, we will start off with our recap of the predictions I made last year. Did I predict a COVID coronavirus global shutdown lockdown? No, I did not. Not that good at this. The predictions I made, let's go through each one with my response to each one as to why I was wrong, why I steered you in the wrong direction. Billie Eilish. I said, you know, Billie Eilish, she was all over the radar. She was making big moves, big money moves. I said, 2020 is going to be a hot girl summer for Billie Eilish. She was like hitting number one on the Billboard. She was like the woman of the year. I thought she was going to have a larger role in the campaign for the 2020 election, which she did play a role, if you noticed, but that's kind of a stretch. To me, I was thinking that this is surely an industry plant set about to sway the masses down the path of the Great Reset, a term I didn't use in 2019, just to clarify. And, you know, it didn't really happen. But, however, they are working on a documentary. Maybe they're already done. Like, if you noticed, a lot of these movies, they haven't released them because they want to cash them checks, you know? And who can blame them, right? I think Christopher Nolan's Tenet was, like, the only movie released in the movie theater. Next year, we're supposed to get all kinds of movies. Everyone's waiting for Top Gun 2. Tom Cruise, second greatest actor of all time. But they pushed it back a full year. So, Billie Eilish, she's got a documentary coming out. And that drops on Apple TV February 26th, 2021. And we didn't really see a huge Billie Eilish dominated year. But she told her fans, I'm going to give you a new era. Because in 2021, she's going to have an album and a documentary. Now, were these all completed and scheduled for 2020? Maybe, right? Let's float a maybe out there. So we'll call that only a partial loss. I'll give myself a D minus on that. She did release a song and a video called, what was it called? Therefore I Am. And I went through all that on the podcast. We talked about the Rene Descartes philosophies and occult ideas behind that. I even did a reaction video for the Patreon tier 2 and 3 folks. Right? You enjoyed that. We talked about pretzels from PA the whole time. It was such a good time. Next, I said Travis Scott. He's another one that's going to make some big moves in 2020. Kind of. Again, another solid D minus. I mean, he made like a Reese's Peanut Butter Puff cereal. That was fun, huh? I think he was even on, got a McDonald's Happy Meal or something like that. Making hard seltzers. But again, nothing huge. Finally, Tekashi 6ix9ine. That's 6ix9ine. And the reason why I started doing these predictions is because I inadvertently got one right. If I recall, back in 2018, I talked about how 6ix9ine, if you recall, 6ix9ine was looking at, was it 47 years in prison? Because he was 22 and he was going to get out at the age of 69. And I was talking about the predictive programming of that. And then I predicted that wasn't going to happen. I said, Tekashi will be out in a year. And while I was slightly off, and that was before we knew he was snitching. Before he was snitching. And lo and behold, he almost got out in 2019, but he in fact got out in 2020. And I said, back in the last year's prediction show, I said he was going to crush it, right? He's going to get out, he's going to crush it. He got out in August 2020. And the album was okay. It was good, not great. I mean, if you like 6ix9ine, if you don't like 6ix9ine, of course you hated it. He dropped the album and then basically disappeared from social media. I'd argue maybe because it flopped, went double plastic. However, let's look at the big picture here. Look at yourself from the perspective of 6ix9ine. Here you got this kid who basically made a name for himself as this rapper and stuff, not really being a quality rapper. But as far as being successful, yes, the young man is successful. You cannot deny that. He got out of prison, posted some major trending videos on YouTube. In fact, he was the number one streamed artist of the whole year, 2.2 billion views. And he did that in less than 5 months. Some of these guys had the whole 12 months and they still couldn't get that done. So is he still the king of New York? I mean, the numbers don't lie. The numbers don't lie. He got paid too. He got out of prison. He got paid. He had the most streaming views on YouTube. Still winning. So I give myself a B minus on that because I was kind of right. Now, to be fair, in conclusion, with the wrap up of the prediction results, to in defense of me, this was a very bizarre year, obviously, right? I wish I would have predicted viruses and toilet paper and the Great Awakening and all this crazy stuff because that would have been more accurate. But just to keep the tradition going, I will give you my 2021 predictions at the end of the show. Next, let's get into what you liked. What did you like? Who cares what I like? I like Jersey Shore. I'm an idiot. You don't care what I like. You shouldn't care what I like. In fact, you shouldn't listen to me at all. Don't listen to me. I wrote all those things about the Stabbies. And like I told you in that free ebook that got banned from Amazon that you can download for free, go sign up for my email newsletter and go to the Gumroad. You go get it free. Like I told you in there, I'm not an expert. I'm not a medical expert, and it wasn't medical advice. Well, same goes for my musical taste and my taste in film. Let's talk about what you liked. That's what I'm saying. Who cares what I like? What do you like? Here's what you liked. The top 10 shows of 2020. So many shows we did. We did more shows than we've ever done. And you loved it. And I loved you for loving it. Now, I'm actually going to do the top 11. Because my homeboy had to make the cut. Number 11. I had guest Ryan Page on. Mr. Hollywood himself. And we talked about Stanley Kubrick, Eyes Wide Shut. All kinds of fascinating stuff. Ryan Page, he's going to be dropping an Eyes Wide Shut documentary about the film, occult symbolism within all this great stuff in the works. That's going to be big moves for 2021. So look out for that. And of course, we'll probably reconnect when that comes out to get more info on it. And since I got your ear, in January, I'm going to drop a few interesting. I signed up to do a feed drop. Now you might ask, well, Isaac, what is a feed drop? And I'll tell you, it's when companies have like shows or podcasts they want to release and they're trying to connect with the audience that would like them. And I found a few that I think you're really going to enjoy. And I'm going to drop some feed drops on you in January. So look out for those. One, and just to tantalize you a bit, there's going to be, hopefully, I mean, unless something changes, there's going to be one on Ghislaine Maxwell. Yes. Yes, Ghislaine Maxwell. Someone's doing a whole podcast, a deep dive on her and her pops and all kinds of stuff. And I know you're going to be interested because guess who makes an appearance on this top 10 list? You already know. Okay, so number 11 was Ryan Page. Number 10, Charlie Robinson, The Great Awakening. Who would have thought? You guys loved that. And Charlie Robinson, this guy's making big moves. Look out for him. He dropped a new book. He's now on the Rockfin Network with your boy, Isaac, with Sam Tripoli, with all the greats, Jamie Deluxe, Whitney Webb. You could all, it's like the Netflix model, right? You pay one subscription fee, you get access to all of us. Hit my link in the show notes. They'll sign up through me. Subscribe to me, right? Help your boy out. Rockfin.com/creator/Isaac. Because I do a second podcast on there where I can say the terms. You know, we talk about stabbies. We talk about the virus. I got to be careful with the terms and how many times I say those terms. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. Because, like I told you, the Great Reset is coming. 2021, they will be pushing the agenda, and part of that agenda is censorship. And I'm trying to stick around to... I'm going to be your Katniss Everdeen, okay? I want you to be in my district. Number 9. Beyonce, Black is King. 28,000 listens. 28,000. It's a good one, right? Yeah, Black is King was this whole Disney psyop, part of the UAP agenda, part of the alien thing, part of the, arguably, part of the sort of pagan religious elements, if you listen to that show. That was a big hit. Number 8. Surprisingly, it was this low. I thought this was going to be like number 1, to be honest, because I thought it was such a big topic. QAnon Part 1. That was the one where we talked about the resurrecting Osiris ritual. I thought it was very good. I liked it myself. And I thought it was going to get more hits. But, it, you know, it's above average. It's above average on listens. It came in at 29,000 listens. Number 7. It's your girl, Ghislaine Maxwell. She got arrested and I did 2 shows on it. And like I alluded to, I'm going to do a feed drop in January for a whole podcast that's focusing on the whole thing. You want a deep dive on Ghislaine? Well, you're going to get it. So stay tuned for that. Number 6. At 31,000 listens, Occult Hollywood Superstars Mega Swap Cast. That was a big one. That was a big one. It was Sam Tripoli, one of the greatest in the game. He got us all together, put out the bat signal. It was me, Jay Dyer, I believe Jamie Hanshaw was on that one, and Chrissy Mayer. And you can check all them out. They got their own podcast, obviously, all of them. And for some reason, when we link up, it's a good time. And not because look, there was 31,000 listens on my feed. Well, that doesn't count the tens of thousands in all the other feed. In fact, I know based upon the follows I see on the social media and the comments that that was a big hit. A lot of you guys liked that. Number 5. I'm just going to say the terms, okay? Like, oh, okay, here's the thing. I don't mind curtailing my speech a touch, but like, I don't want to censor myself into oblivion. Okay. I don't, like I'm, on one level, I'm like, F those guys for trying to censor me. But on the other level, I'm like, ooh, I don't want to get kicked off of here. So I have to draw this weird line, but number 5, 32,000 listens, coronavirus conspiracies. Number four. Cause we did like 10 shows on the topic and I had to rename them, by the way, in case you didn't notice that. Again, part of the great state of affairs we live in. I renamed them like, what did I name? Something stupid like Exploring Scientific Ideas or something. You'll see it. But number 4 was, we talked about David Icke, because he was out there saying 5G made the virus. And we looked at the idea, is the virus fake? We looked at the origins of the biolab theory and this whole exosomes thing. There was lots of people saying, oh, like Andrew Kaufman, oh, it's fake, nothing. There's nothing out there. People are just completely faking that they're sick, I guess. I don't know. But we looked at all that. Because, hey, what do I know, man? It's interesting stuff regardless. And I think it's good to keep an open mind and consider some of these ideas, even if they're wrong. Number four, special guest. At 33,000 listens, Dr. Diana Pasalka, UFO disclosures, secret societies, synchronicity. We talked about all of it, baby. That was a big one. That was a well-deserved top five show there. Like I said, you know, she was one of my favorite guests. Her book was very influential on my research for my book about the alien agenda and how it all plugs together. Very important stuff. Number three. Coronavirus conspiracies, part one. The first one that we did. Well, hang on. Cut the music. Well, it was actually... Okay, so technically this was my second show. This one was called Coronavirus Conspiracies, COVID-19, Kobe, 5G, Chet Hanks, and Predictive Programming at 35,000 listens. Good night, that's a lot. And I published that on March 16th. But my first show where I talked about the virus was on January 28th. January 28th. Right? And back then, I was telling you, and I was saying that basically, like, look, if you forced me into this, put a gun in my head, I'd say the virus is real, because I saw all the corporate shutdowns that happened, all the CEOs stepping down, and I thought, man, there's either the virus is real, and they're really scared, or they're really willing to sacrifice some income to stage this fake thing. Okay, but I would say ultimately, I kind of think the virus is real. Going against the truth or community. Because I was like, well, the money always talks, right? And if you recall, back then, back in March, Trump, he brought every major CEO up on stage. Because I watched all those first press conferences they had. They were like, oh my God, you know who's going to save us through all this? Google. Google and the corporate America. Google's going to build a website where you just type in your symptoms and they'll tell you, go over here to Walmart and drive through the thing and they'll test you. And then every CEO one by one went up there and, hi, this is so-and-so from so-and-where, and we're going to have the tents in the parking lot and we're going to get America tested. I mean, they said they would do this and then they didn't. Why didn't they do it? I don't know. We talked a lot about the virus coming from a lab, which, again, maybe, right? I mean, you got to look at how... Look at the... Now that we've got 9 months of data on this, there's a very clear trend that it appears, from my non-medical expert with non-medical advice opinion, it kills old people, mainly old men. And who runs the world? Well, we know the answer to that, don't we? The male patriarchy. The elderly male patriarchy. They run this piece. So, of course, they want to shut the world down because it's them that's dying. It's not really young people. And I'm not saying, like, young people can't have... And my whole shtick is I'm just looking at the death, the fatalities, right? As far as fatalities go, like, the younger folks are doing pretty fine. But the real question, and this is my big concern... The concern I have is that what if this was cooked up in a lab to kill old people in China for population control? Because they do some wild stuff, I bet, over there. Maybe, allegedly, I don't know. And maybe it got out of hand. But the problem is young people deal with this long hauler stuff, right? They say like 10% of these long hauler stuff. Like, that's crazy. And we talked about how... I told you back then, I said, look, these nerds got us into this. They got to get us out. The fact that they fired all the people beforehand, I guess assuming this would never happen, even though we've seen movies for 10, 20, 30 years talking about how this is going to happen. But we're not going to politicize everything, right? We got to look at the science. We got to look to the nerds. They got us into this. Now we have to let them guide us back out. So is it real? Well, I think we have to look at this like it's 9-1-1, 9-11. I have concerns and doubts on the origin story. Like, maybe there are some architects behind this. I have no evidence for that yet. Just a lot of questions. Like, why haven't we seen any of the profiles of the victims or the families? Why are there so many celebrities with it? I mean, there's nothing. But the reality is that it's legitimate at this point, right? So maybe the Illuminati created this and whatnot. But what I want to drill home, I want you to be safe, okay? I value you as a listener. Be prepared for it. It's very real. Even if it's just a cold or whatever. If you want to disbelieve science entirely, that's fine too. I get it. Just know the entire world is reacting in a way that you need to be prepared for this thing. And not to break my arm patting my back too hard, but I told you back then, I said, you got to be safe. You got to get healthy. I told you the hospitals were going to be packed. It was going to be a nightmare. But then they started TikTok dancing every day, and I thought, well, okay, I got a couple ones wrong. Okay, my bad. No, but seriously, some of the hospitals, I don't know why they're TikTok dancing. Don't ask me. But look, there's a lot of hospitals in America. Not every one of them's overrun. So, but who knows, right? Who knows? Nobody knows. We talked about how Kobe in Hebrew is COVID. You remember that? Remember back when you went to the Google Translator, you type in Kobe, and in Hebrew, it was COVID. And he was buried in Corona del Mar. And we were talking about how back when this kicked off, if you remember, your boy was sick. I just traveled. Me and Mrs. Weishaupt both got sick. Back when I'm watching it on the TV, and I'm seeing the president tell me, if you want a test, you can get a test. Well, I'm here to tell you, when I called the hospital, they said, you cannot get a test. The only way you got a test was if you were, like, in the ER dying. And who cares, right? Like, I mean, and that was my takeaway was like, well, I mean, you know, they tell you, I just got to quarantine. Like, it is what it is. Like, you're sick. You don't need to know you got a head cold. You don't need to know you have a sinus infection. Just, you know, rest and deal with it and move on. So, like, whatever. I'm not going to go caring on the place. But we talked about how strange was it that the entire Utah Jazz, 58 people, were able to get tested back in March when nobody else could. Remember that? There's two Americas, my friends. There's two of them. Which one do you live in? I already know the answer, but we have to understand this. And in fact, if you want to look at, you know, fast forward to just recently, and I think I posted this on my Instagram, Courtney Love. Actually, yeah, I posted on the stories, so you got to follow me to do the stories. Link in the show notes at Isaac Weishaupt on the Instagram. Courtney Love said that the elites for 6 months now have had these instant tests, antibody tests, test at home, 15-minute results. She said, like, I'm sick of seeing this. I'm sick of how the elites get all this great treatment and then the regular people just get effed sitting in 4-hour lines to get tested and all that stuff. But the real, and my thing was, okay, like, maybe that's a thing, right? I don't know how that helps the elites out. Like, what, you're doing it to help other people from getting it, right? Like, what's the big deal? I don't really understand the argument. Maybe she's saying, like, look, we can detect whether we have it sooner so that we can nip it in the bud sooner, maybe. I don't know. I'm not privy to those meetings. Number two, geez. Spent a lot of time on number three. Let's move it along. Number two, at 38,000 listens, the Wayfair conspiracy theory show. Very surprising. Very surprising. And you know what we're talking about. We're talking about the pizza. We're talking about the big conspiracy, the adrenochrome, all that stuff. It all came together for the Wayfair conspiracy theories. One of the biggest topics of the year, surprisingly enough. And look, I ordered a cabinet on Wayfair, and it was a good experience. There was no kids inside of it or nothing. It was great. So I don't know. I don't know what happened. That story kind of dissolved, didn't it? No more talk about that. But it was hot when it was hot, baby. Number one. I need a drum roll. How do I drum roll? That has no rhythm at all. That's my whiteness coming out, my minimal rhythm. Drum roll. Number one, 41,000 listens. 41,000. By far the, I would say this is probably the, I mean, for the year, the largest listen show. It might be of all time even. Kobe Bryant. The death of Kobe Bryant. The number one listen show, the number one topic. Shockingly, he passed away. And I mean, if you added up all the virus shows I did, I mean, that was by far more. But like, for Kobe to take number one, this guy really was the king, huh? He and then I did a show with Sam Tripoli. I believe that might have been on his Patreon about Kobe. I also did a show about the, I read his kids' books, and boy, did that shock me. That was a fascinating tale, but of these novels he put together for the children. And I don't want to go too far into this because that's actually part of my next section. The most important topics and shows of the year, according to me. That was the top 10 for you guys. What you enjoyed the most, what you listened to the most. Let's go through some honorable mentions here. And this is kind of the year wrap-up part here. Let's talk about what happened this year that I didn't address already with that previous section. On January 28th, as I said, I posted that show that kind of hit on everything. The show was called Kobe Part 2, Epstein, Coronavirus, and Event 201. Because back in January, we were talking about this long before it came on the radar for the mainstream. This is back when the conspiracy truthers were digging up footage of the Chinese government shoving people into vans, sending them over to these virus camps where they were doing like track and field games or whatever it was they were doing there. Calisthenics in their sweatpants and jumping jacks. Chinese CrossFit. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know. But we saw the videos and we thought, what the hell's happening over there? And we talked about Event 201 and the takeaway that I stand by. They've been researching this exact thing, this virus stuff, this pandemic stuff for many, many years. How to handle it, how to roll out the stabby, because that's the savior for this kind of thing. Right or wrong, I don't know. I'm not here to make that choice for you. They never focused on the masks. Never. They never researched it. Can you believe that? We roll out millions of dollars of studies on this kind of thing, and they never once thought, what could we do besides telling the masses to sit on their hands and wait for the stabby? Well, I found out why. Because Big Pharma is not interested in understanding if masks are a solution, because they don't care. Because there's no profit motive incentive for them to have that. They don't care. Like, do they want to save lives? Kind of. They want to make money more than anything, though. So on some levels, like, I don't know that they care if masks work or don't. If they don't work, like, that's good for business. If they do work, might not be good for business. So maybe they don't want to know the truth. What do you think about that? Another topic, Harvey Weinstein had a vagina. Has a vagina, excuse me. Isn't that strange? And isn't it funny? Things were totally fine until we found out Harvey Weinstein had a vagina. He was the boogeyman number one back in February, and then the virus took over and forget it. We all forgot about his vagina. Kobe died, of course. Chadwick Boseman died. Both had these occult messages to the kids. Kind of, right? Kind of. If you listen to the Black Panther show, you heard that whole spiel. Kobe also had, we talked about his connections to China with Big Pharma. He was plugged into Big Pharma too. George Floyd died. We talked about BLM with the witchcraft origins. Oh my God, talk about controversial. Good night. Tough times, my friends, in 2020. I did a Joker film analysis back in January. That was a good one. And it talked a lot about these social issues. Ironically, it talked about the state of mental health. And how apropos, how fitting, because in 2020, mental health is probably on record for the worst mental health ever. Is that a thing? The worst mental health ever? Is there an award? Is there a Wokey for worst mental health ever goes to 2020? We talked about Epstein and Ghislaine a lot because Ghislaine got arrested, right? Free Britney. We're still struggling to free Britney. They ain't letting that kooky chick out. She ain't getting out. She ain't getting out. She's on lockdown. Isn't that bizarre, though, honestly? I mean, even if she's crazy, and I have no idea if she's crazy or not. I don't know the woman. If she's crazy, like, it ain't that crazy. I know crazier people walking around doing all kinds of crazy stuff. The problem is that if she's crazy, she's crazy with money. That's the problem. See how money changes everything for us? What a mess. I did 7 shows on the Stabbies. I compiled those on a book. Amazon blocked that book, wouldn't let me publish it. Right or wrong. And like on some levels, I'm kind of like, okay, fair enough. I'm not a medical expert. You shouldn't really listen to me, even though I threw that caveat all over the book. But wait a minute. What about Billy Boy? What about Billy Boy Gates? He's not a medical expert. He's allowed to say whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And this, my friends, is why everyone's turning to the truther community, because we all sense some buggery is afoot. And we are all correct. Now, I don't know what the right answer is. I just know something ain't right. Now, here we go with the big ones. These are your major key alerts. Major key alert. Aliens. The biggest topics of the year. Got to include the aliens. One of the most important elements. This is, should we say it is the most important thing that happened this year? I don't know, maybe. Let's keep going, though. We had disclosure in March. The Pentagon came out, the Navy came out and confirmed those videos, even though we knew they were true, kind of, right? We officially went on the record in March in the midst of the virus and the chaos. They were like, oh, now's the good time. Let's do it now. Let's tell them that these aliens are real. And they did it. They had recent Joe Rogan. He had Jacques Vallée on there. Jacques Vallée, who was buddies with Dr. Dana Pasalka, the number 4 listened show. He was on Joe Rogan. And he confirmed, again, more disclosure, they confirmed on the show that the recent photo uploaded of the pilot with that weird, like, inverted bell thing, looked like it was from E.T., said that was real. Again, more disclosure. You see how they did it, right? Through Joe Rogan's podcast, because people don't trust the news. They're trying to filter out information in entertainment, and this time it was on Joe Rogan's podcast. And on the recent show I did on the podcast, you heard us talking about the Israeli space security chief, retired Brigadier General Chaim Eshed, and the Galactic Federation, which is supporting a lot of previous efforts to say this sort of thing exists. That hacker that hacked into NASA like 20 years ago said that was a thing. They had Paul Hellyer, the Canadian Minister of Defense, said it, was it 10 years ago? And here's another one saying there's a Galactic Federation out there. Meanwhile, we're creating the Space Force. So there you go. I mean, the disclosure is happening this year, and we're not really talking about it. Is that by design? We talked about Stephen Greer's Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, which released during the virus. And Demi Lovato's been plugging it, talking about how she's been seeing UFOs out there meditating in the desert with Greer. Miley Cyrus is going out on on the show is talking about how she's seen the aliens. Kesha and the Creepies, she's got a podcast now, and she's got alien stories from, like, Sammy Hagar and all these people saying they've seen the aliens. You ain't cool unless you've seen the aliens. We had fake monoliths. We had, hell, I wrote an alien book. Maybe you've heard about it. And I appreciate your reviews. You guys are way too kind to me. Thank you very much. I feel humbled every time I read them. On Amazon and Audible, I've been reading all the reviews for Use Your Illusion 1. I will be picking up my research for Use Your Illusion 2. I don't know when it's going to drop. Much like we saw that, I don't know if you saw this, but they signed some, I don't know, funding bills for the government or something just recently. And in that bill, there was a 180-day countdown to disclosure that basically someone's got to disclose something about the unidentified aerial phenomenon to the government or someone like that. And they got 180 days to do it. And I thought, well, let me shoot for that as a goal. 180 days. We're going to try to get this book, Use Your Illusion 2, out by summer 2021. We'll see if we can do it. Like I mean, and it shouldn't be too hard, really. I'm just watching movies and talking about how, look, this movie shows you the symbol here, and this symbol is what I was talking about in the first book. It's kind of be the gist of it. Try to get some photos in there to make it fun. But yeah, 2020, the year of disclosure of aliens. And science told us so many times, oh my God, there's so many aliens. They love them. There's so many. They said the clouds of Venus has the aliens. There's 36 alien civilizations in the Milky Way. Mars has microbial life. The moons of Jupiter and Saturn have water and probably have life. There's these radio burst signals coming in. There's alien planets out there because, you know, you don't really even need oxygen to be an alien. So science is laying the foundation for this thing. But the number one, the wokey goes to the Great Reset. What I think is the biggest topic of all of them. Because to me, you know, we can conjecture and theorize about stuff all day, aliens and all this stuff. But I think the Great Reset is the real deal, Holyfield. I had part one for free. I think I put part one and four on the free feeds, but parts two and three, where we went into Aleister Crowley's stuff and your boy Jay Dyer's stuff. We talked about that. That was on the Rockfin Network and Patreon only. Because I didn't know how much people wanted to talk about it. I had a lot to talk to you about. I didn't know if you wanted to hear all of it, so there you go. But I dropped part one, and that's the big one. You got to listen to that with old Santa Klaus Schwab and his book. He's telling you the real deal here. It's their plan for you. I don't know if it's right. I don't know if it's wrong. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if this is their fantasy. But I do think it's what they want to have happen. And look, here's the thing. I told you back in 2016, been podcasting for several years now. That might have just been a blog post, actually. Anyway, 2016, I said Trump's role is to bring the chaos. He's the chaos candidate. They told you that on the news a million times. That's what he's here for. And they used him to bring nothing short of the chaos in the year 2020. Now, what follows chaos? According to the Freemasonic doctrine, it's got to be order. Order out of chaos, order ab chao. Motto of the 33rd degree Freemasonry. What's the order? The Great Reset. And people, they want to blame this guy or that guy, this political party or that political party. The real handlers, as we've been told so many times by these truthers, by David Icke and Bill Cooper, your boy Charlie Robinson, the octopus. The real handlers are above the parties. They use them for their goals and their plans. And I argued that Trump was the useful idiot. That's the term. I'm not calling him an idiot for real. I'm just saying he's the guy they used to push the Great Reset. Which, like I discussed on the show, you know, there's some decent ideas, but ultimately I reject The Great Reset. I mean, because if you look at The Great Reset, it's all these great things. Like any horrific dictatorship utopia fantasy that goes bad, it's like, well, you know, we got to take care of the poor people. We got to take care of the environment and all that. And like when you read it, you're like, I don't know, kind of. Yeah, okay. I agree with those things. But the reason I reject it is because it's a manipulation. It's a power grab by the same people causing these problems that they're telling us, well, now we'll solve it. World Economic Forum, 1,000 wealthy corporations come together. Oh, I know. Yeah, we took too much money from the poor people. I know. Give us all the money and then we'll redistribute it perfectly to all the people. They're liars. We can't trust them. We just simply cannot trust them, according to me. I think Hitler was used for the same purposes, by the way. I think he was a useful idiot. The occult forces, they pushed him into a role orchestrated by the unseen forces above him. Yeah, I think Trump and Hitler, they were products of chaos. Used by who? The corporations and the banks. You know, Henry Ford, J.P. Morgan, they all funded those Nazis. There's handlers, right? There's levels to this. And to conclude, the reason the Wilkie Award goes to The Great Reset Show, I dropped it on December 9th, and it had like 25,000 listens within just a couple of weeks. So like, really, it's almost in the top 10 and only had there 3 weeks. It was the Tekashi 6ix9ine of podcasts. If it had a whole year, it'd be bigger than Kobe, probably. But, you know, it definitely should be up there. So the Wokey for the most important show we did this year, The Great Reset. Now, the most important event. Originally, the Wokey was going to go to my Patreon. I hit 1,000 Patreons. I couldn't believe it. I was like, you guys are the best. You know what? You guys are the best. The Wokey goes to you guys with the Patreon. And as you know, I know my whole spiel on Rockfin. Rockfin gets the love too. Rockfin's doing real good for me. I like them a lot. No censorship. No threats of censorship. They let me do my thing. Not that Patreon's given that to me at all. But they have banned some of the other subversive topic curators. So like that's a thing, right? That's a thing we got to worry about. But Patreon, I've been working on this for a few years, and my goal was 1,000, which I thought was completely unattainable, and you guys blew me away. We hit 1,000 Patreons. Shout out to John. He was number 1,000. I don't know if I talked about this or not, but yeah, he was number 1,000. I hope he's still on there. I should check. And we're over 1,100 now, still. There's still room on the mothership. I got to change my goal. I still got to set to 1,000. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at the business side of show business here. Gotta change my goal. What should we make it? 10,000? Think we can get 10,000? Nah, we can't do that. But anyways, that was gonna be the most important thing of the year for me, personal victory. But hold up. Then it happened. Hold up. Hey, December 27th. I was listening. Like I said, I don't listen to too many podcasts, but Tinfoil Hat, they did a year-end show, and to my humble surprise, I made it onto Sam Tripoli's Mount Rushmore of Truthers. I couldn't believe it.
These are all great choices. So here are my, obviously, I've heard yourself, you guys mentioned two guys that I want to include, which is Bishop Larry Gators and Dr. Shiva. Those are the two that I really love. After that, it's kind of crazy. I am going to throw somebody up there because I feel like he's had big shows that and came out of nowhere. And here it is, Isaac Weissip. I really like Isaac Weissip, his Britney episodes, all the stuff he's done on the occult with us. I really love that. So I have Isaac Weissip up there. And then finally, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know how nobody mentioned this guy, but I mean, he is forever on my my Mount Rushmore. Eddie fucking Bravo.
Oh, but he's part of the show though.
Yeah. He's a cast member.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Okay. Then Eddie, I mean, so there's only three spots open.
Yeah, what an honor. You know, this Sam Tripoli guy, I'm always professing my love for him. You know, shout out Sam Tripoli and all the guys, XG, Johnny, all the guys on Tinfoil Hat there that make it happen, Mark. But yeah, to lump me in with some of the greatest to ever do it, Eddie Bravo? Are you kidding me right now? Dr. Shiva? I was researching Dr. Shiva from my Stabby book there. Bishop Larry Gators? Wow. I am very humble. Thank you very much. So that was my biggest moment of the year. That gets the Wokey Award. Now, because the next, if you listened to that Tinfoil Hat show, I'm going to steal some of their ideas. I should be allowed to steal their ideas. If I'm on the Mount Rushmore of the greatest show, the greatest conspiracy show, I should be allowed to steal some ideas. Who's on my Mount Rushmore? Let's bring it back to me. What about me? I thought about this, and this was tough because I love my truther buddies so much. Here's the for sures that are in there. Sam Tripoli's on there for sure. He's for sure on there. This guy made one of the most entertaining podcasts, came up in just a couple years. He's great at bringing people together. He's got the Swarm. I got to come up with a cool name for my people. We're a bunch of lone wolves. I don't know what to call us. The Wolves? That's stupid. I'm still trying to think of it. And I got a lot of good ideas from people, but I kind of like, I don't know. I want to make a tribe, but I feel like on some levels, like when I talk to my people, like everyone's so independent minded. I don't know. It's a work in progress. We'll see. Someday. I got the, you know, on Patreon, they're called like the Granola Wokesters, OG Granola Woker, the Alkaline OG Granola Wokesters. I mean, maybe the Wokesters. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know how it fits. But what's on mine? Sam Tripoli's on there for sure. My boy Jay Dyer's on there for sure. My boy Greg Collarwood from Higher Side Chats is on there for sure. Because Greg's an OG, man. This guy's been holding it down. I don't know how this guy does such a great show. This guy must have a library of books in his head. He's read through all these books because I've done a show three times now. Oh, and by the way, big update. I'm going to be on Higher Side Chats in January. Look out for that. We're talking about the aliens, UFOs, and the occult. Use Your Illusion 1. We get into the alien drama. Get ready for that. So yeah, we got Sam. We got Jay. We got Greg. And I've been running with, and I didn't go into Jay Dyer. Jay and I have been working together for many, many years. Here's a little fun fact. Back in 2011, when I started blogging, I was not really a truther necessarily. I was kind of digging around for content on David Icke. And I would write little blogs here and there and link to certain, you know, articles and stuff like that. And I stumbled across Jay Dyer's website. And he was talking about like symbolism in movies and stuff. And at the time I was talking about symbolism on shows and movies and stuff. I was like, oh, this is cool. And I had him on they had a thing called a blog roll back in the day where you would have links of all the sites you liked. And I believe I had him on mine. And at some point he put me on his and I was like, oh, that's cool, man. This guy recognizes who I am. That's awesome, man. We were kind of doing our thing simultaneously. He had been doing it longer than me, just to clarify. He had been doing it a couple years before I was. And then, one thing led to another, and we've got this beautiful romance here. And as you heard I don't know if you heard the Christmas show, the little 5-minute skit. Jay Dyer, of course, does the proper Nick Cage voice. But yeah, I mean, even if we disagree, right? Like, I don't agree with everything Sam, Jay, and Greg say, but like, to me, like, they're very influential people in my research and in my life and for the truther community as a whole. So that's why in 2020, they're on my Mount Rushmore. Now I'm number four. I know you're saying, shut up, Isaac. Who's number four? This was a tough one. Should it be Joe Rogan? Should it be Gordo from Those Conspiracy Guys? Should it be Charlie Robinson? I mean, he did have one of the top 10 shows. I like all those people. I appreciate all of them. But I'm going with Billy Ray Valentine from Infinite Fringe. So shout out Billy Ray. He's another one of my homeboys here. We hook up often. And the reason I went with him is because he was the only other truther guy in this truther community out there trying to be vocal about the problems with the QAnon argument. We were the only ones really saying that this is a psyop. And I'm not saying we're the only ones that believed that it was a psyop. I think even Alex Jones said he didn't believe it. But for sure, he's the only other person I noticed that was actively trying to sort of talk about this idea. We were both taking lots of shots. He also, you know, he had a set of huevos. He was pushing up against Dr. Andrew Kaufman, who at the time was the sweetheart of the truth community too. And I was saying the same thing. I was like, dude, I don't know if I believe Andrew Kaufman. Seems like he's full of shit. And then he interviewed him and, you know, kind of asked him some tough questions. Because here's this guy telling you, oh, COVID, the viruses are fake. It's not real. They're not even testing anything. You're not sick at all. Meanwhile, he's like, but you can buy into my health wellness coaching for only, you know, $1,000 an hour or whatever it was. And that's sketchy, right? That's sketchy. Let's be honest, folks. Let's be honest. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. You know, he's a doctor, a psychologist or whatever, by the way, isn't he? I don't know. I remember researching him at the time because I was, like I said, he was the sweetheart. David Icke was smooching up on him, and so many people were at the time. And I kind of dug into him, and I thought, I don't know if I buy it. I don't know if I buy this. I think he was just a psychologist. Not to take anything away from against psychologists, but like, you've got the doctor tag. You should probably try to clarify which kind of doctor you are, right? And no, you know, no offense to him. I'm not trying to offend. I don't believe that theory. And I think it's a dangerous theory to go out and push and then try to tell people like, oh, you know, do this thing over here. But anyway, point being, I like the truther elements and the truther vibes. Truth above all else with Billy Ray. So he takes number 4. So that's Sam, Jay, Greg, and Billy Ray on my Mount Rushmore for 2020. Now, on that same Tinfoil Hat show, they did a Mary Cuck Kill. If you ever played this game, it's, of course, not Cuck, but with the F. But because we're men playing it, it's a little bit different. If we're men talking about men, you know, we're talking about cucking, which is to, you know, allow another man to into your home to you know what. Now, they did a Mary Cuck Kill for Alex Jones, Bishop Larry Gators, and Eddie Bravo. Now, I already know my answer. I didn't have to think about this one. Here's my take on what I would do. Definitely kill Bishop Larry Gators because he blocked me on Twitter. I don't know if you know this. This was on my Truth or Drama Part 1 on the Rockfin. I do the Truth or Drama on my second podcast. Yeah, he blocked me on Twitter. I went on there because I was like, look, because he says a lot of stuff, a lot of flagrant stuff, particularly about Kobe Bryant, because I did my Kobe Bryant shows first. And then here he comes with all this Kobe stuff. And I looked all of it up and like, there was a lot of questionable ideas he was floating that he did not. He implied that they were 100% factual with no real sources, no citations. I couldn't verify him anywhere. And how did this work? I think I messaged him and said, yo, I want you to do my show. I want to talk to you about Kobe. And just to be upfront and transparent, like, I've got some questions about some of the statements you've made. And somewhere along the line, like, I went on his Twitter to try to contact him, and he had blocked me. And I don't know if the two are related. I don't know. That's this is all truth or drama talk. But yeah, he'd get the K. Who would I allow to be the cuck? Eddie Bravo. Because that's how much I love Mrs. Weishaupt. I would want her to have the highest quality, you know, sexy time out of those three. And that would obviously leave me with marrying Alex Jones. Of course I would marry Alex Jones. What are you kidding me right now? Alex Jones has got money. He got the boner juice. And the dude seems like a great time. There was no easier choice for me. I didn't have to think about those three, but that's how I would break those down. Now, got a few more fun topics, then we're out. Most controversial shows. Most controversial shows. I'm going to go in order. The third runner-up, Cuties. I did a whole show talking about the Cuties film that was on Netflix. I argued, because, you know, I like to have a good time and think outside the box a little bit, and sometimes a little bit too much, as I did with the Cuties show. A lot of you did not take favor of this, but I argued that the film might do more good than harm, because it's opening up the dialogue about the abusers and the pedos. Do we want to fix the problem, or do we want to just keep pissing and moaning and saying, ooh, I hate the pedos? Like, no, we need to, everyone needs to be aware of this problem. We got to bring it to the light. From darkness to the light. You know what I'm saying? Like, what do they say? The mushrooms and the doo-doo grow in the dark? Something like that? That was kind of my argument. Not everybody agreed with me. Number two, the first runner-up, masks. Oh, boy. I talked about the masks. And let's clarify my stance one more time. Because it evolved. My viewpoint has evolved. I always say the truthers are right. And sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. But I've read enough since that show that I will take the stance that I don't think that the masks really help that much. The main problem I have is that, like, the truther community in general, they'll say stuff like, oh, I'm not sick. Healthy people shouldn't wear masks. But, like, that's an assumption, right? That's an assumption because I don't know how well you know people, but I know people. And there's people who are sick that won't do the things they're supposed to do. They won't wear the mask because they're sick. They won't even stay home from the gym because they're sick. They won't even, you know, they just don't want to do anything. People don't want to be told what to do. There's a friend that works at a place where they test COVID people. She tells me she sees people get the test results. They say, hey, bro, you got COVID. Go home. Go quarantine. Deadly virus. And they'll watch out the window and they drive right over to the grocery store to stock up. And look, I don't blame them. This is the human nature, right? Humans are fallible. But, like, the truth is, I don't know what they think. Like, they have this weird notion that everyone's responsible and everyone's real intelligent and they're always going to do the right thing and you don't need any kind of intervention, which is ironic to me because, paradoxically, I'd say that the truthers, more than anyone, should know that the masses can't be trusted. You can't trust the masses. You know, like, people are crazy. So, in general, I don't want to go off on a side tangent. Do I buy into masks? I mean, not really. Not like I kind of implied on that summer show that I did. But on another level, I do think that maybe they're being used as a placebo to keep the economy going, because we need to keep the economy going. So, like, here's the way they might be looking at this. They think, we got to spike fear to the hearts of everyone of this virus, but somehow we yet need them to go out and spend the money, which ironically, or maybe by design, just so happens to go to the big corporations and the big McDonald's and the big fast food and the big box stores instead of the local mom and pop places. They need a serving two masters, which is why people don't believe in this whole thing. Something doesn't add up. So yeah, I kind of get the anti-mask. I'm not that guy though. Like I'll put it on just because it makes me, you know, I don't know. I like my fellow man and woman out there to feel like I'm part of their team. And maybe that's naive. Maybe that's the kind of thinking that gets us in trouble. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. That was the second most controversial show. But the most controversy, the most smoke that I got out of any topic, out of any show I'd say I've ever done, QAnon. The QAnon folks. They were lighting me up left and right, and I'd like to take a victory lap real quick because it turned out I was very much right on this. All these Q goofballs out there, oh, wait till 2 weeks from now when the cryptic statement comes true, and Then it didn't come true. Wait a minute. He said, they said Durham. That means something's going to happen. Didn't happen. They've been virtually silent since, I mean, I don't even know when. They've had like one post in the last month. It's a joke. This whole thing was a sigh from day one. I implied that it was, and I stand by that. And I stand by it doubly because I think I was right. If I was wrong, that would have been different. But, you know, they keep saying, hold out hope. Trust the plan. It's almost there. Oh, really? What, how long are we waiting? How long should I keep holding my breath? Hold my breath. Remind me when I should exhale. But yeah, I don't want to pick on them too. I know half of these are Q folks. And I don't want to take that the wrong way. This isn't I'm not trying to rub people's face, and I just, you know, I get duped all the time. Right? We all get duped sometimes. I think Q was a big psyop. But yeah, that was the number one, man. That the Wokey goes to that for being the most controversial show, and I'm probably going to get smoke from talking about it again. But, you know, and like I said, I'm done. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. It's over. Or maybe not. Who knows? We'll see what happens in 2021. Maybe. I tell you what, they go around and arrest all these people that they said they've been going to arrest the whole year. What is it? Oprah, Tom Hanks, Ellen DeGeneres, Podesta, Clinton, Wiener. They arrest all those folks, and I'll come around and say, you know what? I was wrong. I was very wrong. And turns out the plan should have been trusted. Now, let's go on to something more fun. Another Wokey. Favorite show of the year, as per me. Not based upon listens or anything. A sort of dual show. This goes to The Witch and The Lighthouse. Those were two films that I... And what I loved about doing that... I like doing the film shows. The occult symbolism that I was able to connect into both of these films by the same director was... Something of beauty. It had a bit of like a Baphomet message in there that you could find the reconciliation of opposing forces. So to me, I thought that was a very good work. That was my most favorite, just in general, favorite good time. Now my least favorite show, and these are all winners. This is like telling me to pick my favorite kid. If I had to choose one, and maybe it's just because it's fresh in my mind, the conjunction show, the December 21st great conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter. Because, you know, on one hand, I don't really get astrology and why people get into this so much. I don't buy into it too much. And especially that show in particular, as I had so many requests for it, though, I wanted to oblige. And I kind of, you know, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if something changes. But the theory was like, we're all entering the age of Aquarius and this great awakening is going to blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that was probably my least favorite. Now, my favorite memory of 2020. Oh, dear. So many great ones to choose from. I kid. I mean, I don't want to give another one to Sam Tripoli because you guys are going to think I'm gay for Sam. But my favorite memory from my personal life, I went to one movie this year. Well, technically two. It was a double feature, and it was at the drive-in. I went to the drive-in with Mrs. Weishaupt. It was almost empty, which was very sad. But in the middle of summer, we loaded up the pickup truck had a couple snacks and stuff. Got the sleeping bags. Watched the double feature of Shrek with E.T. I'd never seen E.T. And I did watch E.T. And in fact, ironically, I'm watching it again as we speak. Because I believe it's going to have a chapter in my Use Your Illusion 2 book. But yeah, that was a great memory for me. I don't know why. Like, I think about that with fond. You know, like when you die, they say you're going to flash back memories in your head. And I feel like that's going to be up there. I don't know why. It's stupid. Like, it's not like anything particularly exciting happened. I think it was just like a nice break from the show of shit that was 2020. You know? Now, least favorite memory, because why not? This one, this one, there's a lot to choose from. You got like the general anxiety of 2020. You got, of course, the virus. How could we not mention that? The protests. I mean, even in Utah here, the whitest place on the planet, protests out the ass. And speaking of Utah, we had earthquakes. We had a major earthquake. I wake up to the whole house shaking. They shut down my CrossFit. They shut down my church. Not that I was great at getting out of bed and making it to church on Sunday, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. I mean, I don't even know. Least favorite memory is the whole year. Does that count? What is an honorable mention for least favorite memory is going to have to be this commercial for LG washers. They put my man Old Dirty Mastered on there. The song. What's it called? Got Your Money. Hey, baby, I got your money. I'm not good with song titles. But, and to be fair, like, it's, you know, one of the most played out ODB songs of all time. So it doesn't bother me too much, but still. And, like, I don't blame, and I'm not assigning blame to his family or whoever gets that money. I mean, get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, get that money. But it's just a real bummer. Because, like, that was, you know, ODB with, what was the name of the first? The one that has driver's license on there. Like, that was the jam back in my glory days. We thought we were hard as hell listening to that. And it was great. It was a great album. And then he had that follow-up. I don't know what it was called. I didn't have the album, but it had that popular track on there. Yeah, lots of weird. Well, we'll get into that in a minute. Yeah, but anyways, least favorite memory. Gosh, I don't even know. Probably the earthquake, honestly. No, the virus. The virus has to win. It has to win. But what the virus giveth, it taketh. Like, it opened up some opportunities for me to focus and write books and do more shows. Because like I said, when this thing's all said and done, I'm going to have to throttle it back a touch. Because I've been living in this crazy world for a long time and I got to ease up. Now, favorite movie of the year. Well, you know, you're going to be shocked by this. But my favorite movie of the year was Valley Girl from the 80s. Yes. I didn't say it had to be. I didn't say it had to be from this year. Because my second place movie, my second favorite movie of the year was Dirty Dancing. Which I think I watched this year. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I watched that this year. Now, those were my favorites because both were quite the surprise to me as I hadn't never seen them before. And I watched them and was very much impressed by both. I mean, it also helps that literally nothing came out. I mean, what are the other contenders here? Sonic the Hedgehog? Trolls? We had Tenet come out. Christopher Nolan. I haven't seen it yet. I really want to. A lot of requests to see it. So I'm going with these oldies because they blew me away so much. I loved them both. It's my dumb award show. That's with the dumb choices. Yeah, Valley Girl, Nick Cage, fantastic movie. I mean, this is quintessential 80s without being too corny. Like, they had the perfect blend of all of it without going overboard on the cheese factor. And Dirty Dancing, I had no idea that was such a great movie. I could, as a toxic masculine male, I've turned my nose up to this film for so many years. And I finally broke down and watched it begrudgingly. And again, blown away. I was like, this is a great movie. Now I get it. Now I get what all these girls are into. You know, damn, I want to sleep with Patrick Swayze. Rest in peace. Do you know what Patrick Swayze was like? I think I could be getting this very wrong, but from what I had been told, he was raised like in he took like ballerina classes and he played football and stuff. This guy really reconciled the opposites. You know what I mean? Too bad he smoked cigarettes. Man, that guy could have been crushing it a long time. Now, my favorite TV show of the year, the Wokey goes to Tiger King. Yes, come on, it had it all. In fact, Tiger King came up on one of my shows for a blip, if I recall. I don't remember why. I mean, that came out of the perfect time when we needed it most. Ridiculousness was also a great show. I watched on loop, on repeat. And you know, and, you know, and all the other favorites, but like one that stands out, Tiger King. The worst part of Tiger King, though, is that no one really talked about how sad it was for these poor tigers. We want to pick who's the bad guy. You know, Carol Baskin. Ooh. First off, F Carol Baskin, F Joe Exotic, F all these animal abusers. Like, get a real job. But for sure, it was an entertaining show. And I wouldn't mind, like, you know, sometimes you need to, sometimes these wild animals, like maybe they're injured or something goes awry and they need to be in a sort of zoo environment. I get that. Like, that's okay. But like, when you watch the zoos that they're at, you're like, damn, man. They're living in terrible conditions. That's no way for the king of the jungle to live. Come on now. Now, the biggest winners of 2020, and then we're moving on to predictions. The biggest winner of 2020. Well, let's see. How should we do this? I got a first, second, and a third. We'll start with third. Me, fool? I'm the third biggest winner. Who you thought it was? I had all this support on Patreon. Rockfin let me on their network. I started a second podcast over there. You know, Trump told me I'd be tired of winning, and I think he was right. My book was number one on Amazon. My book was number one on Audible. Little asterisk in the UFO category. But still, it's a win. I mean, my UFO book was more popular on Amazon for a minute than, like, Whitley Strieber, who had just dropped a new book. Like the same week, I think. I was beating Whitley Strieber. Are you kidding me? That guy was really abducted by an alien. Why are people reading my book over his book? Because I think you know I'm right. I think you know I'm right. But yeah, I was killing it this year. I went on some great shows. I went on Tinfoil Hat a bunch of times. I think on the last time I was on, they said I was the most repeated guest. Higher Side Chats, which is a legendary show in the conspiracy community. Those conspiracy guys I got on there for the first time. Shout out Gordo, another classic in the conspiracy category. Sean Atwood. Chris Jericho, the wrestler, the champion. Are you kidding me? Me and Chris Jericho are buddies now. I told Dave Navarro, hey man, you know, I moved on. I'm moving on to a new best friend. His name is Chris Jericho. Maybe you've heard of him. And I had some awesome guests on my show this year too. I wrote a few down. I could be missing some. Don't get too offended if your name isn't called out. My man Ryan Page, of course, Talk Eyes Wide Shut, Jay Dyer, Jason Alexander, Britney Spears' ex-husband. He came on the show to share his thoughts about the Free Britney movement. That was a hot one for a minute. Charlie Robinson. Mr. Gates, you know, Mr. Gates from Haterazzi, he's making big moves too. Me and him are going to be working on another project here. Professor Ben Teitelbaum told us about Steve Bannon being part of this occult sort of philosophy. Douglas Sirignano, Alex Sakiris from Skeptico. Greg Carwood told us that germs weren't real. And of course, Dr. Diana Pasulka. One of my favorites of all time. But yeah, and then of course I won the Swarmy. I'm on Sam's Mount Rushmore. Are you kidding me? What kind of year are we having here? It's like I'm having the best of times and the worst of times at the same simultaneously. Second place, biggest winner of 2020, Fleetwood Mac. They're winning hard. You had the cranberry juice guy who's got COVID now or something. They were also on, they're on some LL Bean commercial. You can tell I'm watching a lot of TV now, right? They're on the LL Bean commercial. They're bringing it back. And I love Fleetwood Mac, so, you know, shout out. But number one, the Wokey Award goes to Dogs. The Dogs, they won. They won the whole year. Not just my dogs, everyone's dogs. You know, we're home with them 24/7 now, teleworking. They get more walks than ever. They gotta love it. They gotta love it. We're not leaving them for a week at a time, having some dropping off at some weirdo's house to puppy sit. The dogs are winning 2020. Now, let's wrap it up. Let's keep it moving here. 2021 predictions. I'm optimistic, okay? I'm optimistic for the new year. Hunger Games told me that hope always wins over fear. That damn President Snow. He's not going to shut us down. He's not going to keep the hope squashed. Because I think that the Stabbies are somehow going to save the day. Not because they're great, not because they're healthy, not because they really work that well. I think, and you can get behind this from two perspectives. One thing you got to look at, when you look at the history of all these studies that these globalists and Bill Gates and all these people have been doing, the UN, the World Health Organization, there's one thing they have always wanted. They want mass buy-off on Stabbies. They want us all to take them and love them and believe they work. Now, there's obviously a lot of different thoughts on that, but they want us to believe in it. And what better way to make us believe, whether it's real or not? I'm not talking about that. Then if it really gets us out of this quarantine lockdown life, out of this garbage year, maybe this whole thing is to make people believe in the Stabbies. They've been advocating for massive buy-in, and maybe they're going to give us the illusion that they work. Maybe they really work, you know? I'm not a medical expert. It's not medical advice. Regardless of what you believe, if they can either put on the show that they work or in reality they really do work, that's less ammo for the mainstream media, who loves the fear because fear sells. So if you give them less deaths and less scariness to report on, they'll find another boogeyman and we can move on to something else. Because it's going to be something else. But yeah, I'm optimistic. I think that this will be good, right? I think this will be good overall as far as shifting over to less oppressive boogeymen. Maybe. A lot of truthers say, no, this is the beginning of the end. And I know you're probably thinking, well, Isaac, you're talking about all this Great Reset nonsense. I know. I know it. We just got to be careful the way we move forward. Because even if you listen to my Great Reset shows, old Santa Claus, he even said, like, you know, America, like, they're not necessarily going to go along with a lot of these things. And I hope so. I don't want to go along with his game plan. I think America shows that we still like our democracy and our independence. So my prediction number one, I think that the Stabbies are going to save the day in whatever form you want to believe in, a psyop, propaganda, fake news, or reality. Maybe they really work. Maybe these are the ones that work, these different kinds, these mRNAs, versus the other ones that we talked about for so long that maybe those didn't really work that well. I don't know. So that's number one. It's going to be a better year for that, as far as that's concerned. Number two, cryptos. The cryptocurrencies are going to be the new thing. They're trying to insert them in the first stimulus package. Bitcoin's blowing up. But if you read my Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture book or listen to my shows on Bitcoins and cryptocurrencies, you know my feelings on them. Look, it ain't for me. Oh, you're going to transfer the risk from the bank holding my money to me? And you better hope you don't get a new phone and forget the password, the 28-word password. You better hope that someone doesn't hack into your account and steal all of your money, because there's no one to call. It's just gone forever. I mean, it ain't for me, but it's for sure the way of the future. I give you that. In fact, I don't know if you remember, I told you back in March, I think it was, on the Instagram, I said Bitcoin was at 3,000. I said, buy. If you're going to buy it now. I should dig that up to confirm, make sure you know I'm not making it up, but that for sure happened. I warned on social medias when it was down in 3,000s to buy it. Now, I bought a little bit, but I already sold it. Because I got a new phone, and I went to log into my Coinbase thing, and it was like, It was like, oh, this is a new device. We need to verify your identity. And it said it texted me the code. Well, the code never came through. So I had to log in on the computer. And I'm like, where did my code go? It just never came. And I just sold it all. I was like, forget it. This is stupid. I'm not transferring the risk of holding this stuff from the bank, who I can actually walk in and say, hey, I had $1,000 in here. Where did it go? And they'll say, oh, well, here you go. We're covered under FDIC. Well, guess what? If you lose your Bitcoin, someone hacks your account, ain't no one to call, buddy. You're on your own. And, you know, some people like that. It transfers the trust from the banks to you and the nerd hacker programmers. But I don't trust the nerds, as you know. Number three, Billie Eilish. She's back again. I'm shifting my prediction 1 year. I know she's got a role to play in all this. Like I said before, I think she's going to have a big role. I need to be a little more specific. So it's hard to know where to take that. I would say if I had to be more specific, she'll have some kind of political aspiration. Like, I don't think she's going to be the president, but I don't know. I think there's some kind of political thing up her sleeve. Number four, Ghislaine Maxwell. Don't forget about Ghislaine. She might get shanked. She might get let out. She might drop some truth bombs. We don't know. Something's going to happen. It's going to be a big year for her. Number five, the new boogeyman. Like I said, I think on one level, we're going to move past the virus boogeyman. But unfortunately, you know what lurks right behind it. Because I think the way this is going to look is America is going to keep her independence and not join the Great Reset, the globalization, global government stuff. So they're going to have to hit us with something else. And you already know where we're going with this. You know what's going to be the next one. The aliens. Yep. Old Ronnie Reagan said it. He gave a speech at the UN in the 80s talking about how we need a global threat to join together for the global government because he was part of a globalist group. I forgot the name off the top of my head, but he was. Now, I'm not saying aliens will make themselves known here. I'm just saying that they're going to unroll the next phase of disclosure, more soft disclosure. Like I said, I think it's going to be like a 5-year plan before it's like in your face. But next year, it's going to be heating up. It's going to be hotter than ever. Aliens are going to be so hot right now. So there you go. There's my, what do we got, 5 predictions there? We'll revisit that in a year. Let's see what's right. Let's try to stay optimistic. Let's keep the positive vibes going through 2021. I've got lots of cool shows for you. Like I said, I'm working on Use Your Illusion 2, which you're going to hear some of the topics on the show. We're going to cover the same exact information. I'm going to give it to you on the podcast form. I got a lot of cool stuff on schedule here. What are we talking about? Interstellar, E.T., Sharkboy and Lava Girl. They're all in the works. You're going to get it. So if you like the show, if you listen to the show, I appreciate you. Drop them reviews wherever you leave the reviews. Let people know about it. And until next time, and maybe even next year, stay woke.